Call the regular meeting to order, open up for public comment, non-agenda items, questions, comments, concerns. Any comments? Want to open that up, Vince, as well? Nothing? Okay, then we'll go to conflict of interest declarations. Court lawyer around the table, starting with you, please.
None.
None?
None.
No? Schrock, any conflicts?
No, sir.
Okay, under business action items, sewer permit, Boyne Levinsky Employee Housing Buildings, B&amp;C, 50.6 SFEs. I would have a potential conflict of interest there, and there is a Boyne representative here to handle that. I mean, this has potential. So, then we'll go right to the consent agenda. Anybody have any questions on the consent agenda? Comments? I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any comments? Time to time, Terry, you have comments on that, given the financial side?
Only comments. There's a draft budget in there. We need to schedule a committee meeting with our budget committee. It's been through staff. I think we're to the point we're waiting on insurance numbers. It sounds like we're getting those this week, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yes. Okay. So we need to schedule that. So you're approving the consent less the budget. That's draft.
Okay, thank you. All right, all in favor on the consent agenda?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thumbs up, Schrock? Okay, all good. We're going to go to committee reports. We have the BSOA Fund Committee report that we're going to move up into from action items. So we'll cover the entire BSOA Fund Project Committee report and agreement in one. So, Mike, do you want to give that report?
I just got on the committee 4 hours ago.
But you're the man. You broke the log chain.
I think it was 3 hours ago.
Well, yeah.
Just taking my place starting for no.
So,
do you want to give a quick summary?
Pond project, all of it?
Yeah, might as well do it in one stretch. Everybody's okay.
No one needs the history behind everything, but we've been having a problem coming to terms on interpretation of an old MOU that has to do with the pond project and a $15,000 water right payment. The Northwestern Energy site out by it's a subdivision.
Sweetgrass.
Came into play for an additional 1 million gallon tank. We had some uncertainty about what that site would allow us to put in. Going back and forth, the conclusion to the agreement with the BSOA was we need to write another agreement that allows us to use that easement that's on the plat there in that 30-foot configuration, redefine it, put our water line in there. Once we have to transact the property from Northwestern Energy first. And then BSOA, we talked with them today. They're willing to give us and redefine that 30-foot easement in there to allow for water, power, and telemetry. Allow us to do a use agreement on 2 acres adjacent to that 2 acre site. Most likely, it's like not half quarter acre site, just slightly under a quarter acre site for construction of the 1 million gallon tank. And then if we needed to modify that substation location, not the location, but the size of the square and tweak it a little bit, we could do so with the caveat that track D of open space that's up on the screen right there, be net neutral to open space, meaning right now the district owns that track H20 right there in the left corner there.
Right here.
That's where our 250,000 gallon tank is. We're going to leave that in place. If we have to modify that quarter acre lot to accommodate the 1 million gallon tank, we'll rob from there or other lands, or maybe even modify that existing rectangle if it doesn't, or square if it doesn't fit our needs, right? But nonetheless, the 33.385 acres of track B would remain the same as part of this modified agreement. It's actually a new agreement. And our consideration, a piece of this is we're going to give them the water right for the pond, which was valued about $15,000. That'll be held in escrow until they finish the pond projects. That's just the way those things work. you've transferred the ownership of the water right once you finish the project. And that track H20, we're going to give the BSOA an access easement across that to access track D, which is their open space. So right now they don't really have a good way to access track D. So it'll be congruent. Our water line will be going through there. Currently, right, the access to that substation goes up that route, we think. And of course, we're using a 250,000 gallon tank there. So it wouldn't be new infrastructure necessarily for H20. It would just be everyone using the same road they've always used. But the SOA would have an easement across it. And then reciprocate to us an easement across that open space for our water line. So there's been some desertion or some confusion, I guess, on everybody's part of what we needed, what they needed. And this gets everybody happy from a meeting we had today.
Wow, really well done. I hit you on the fly too.
I just say, and as part of that, and this is Susan Swinley, and as part of that, we are, I feel confident to say we've already come to an agreement on the terms of the water right in the quick claim deed or the transfer deed. Has already been agreed to and proffered, and that hasn't been an issue. And it involves the ongoing maintenance and obligations in the pond for our water rights, and those are all agreed to. So that's all wrapped into that entire scope of the meeting, all of the terms of the MOUs.
I glazed over some nuances with all this, which would be kind of standard operating procedure. If we use 2 acres of BSOA's open space land to construct our million gallon tank, we're going to reclaim that and make it look, but you know, the lawyers will put lawyer things in there to make sure it goes back to where it was before, that type of thing. We'll build our million gallon tank, whatever. We'll work through all those to protect everybody on both sides. But that's the core of the agreement. So the notion from the subcommittee perspective is we should vote on basically the terms of what I laid out today, which we're on agreement with working for the district, so that the BSOA has confidence to go to their board on Friday and present the same deal structure to their board. And then we'll finish up this agreement and everyone will sign it. We'll have a thing in place to protect our million gallon tank. We're not tearing a 150,000 gallon tank. But we are going to finish up this pond water right project that we've all been working on for 10 years and get BSOA access across this track that we don't think they have access to right now, so they can have a perfect access to their land.
Okay. Anything else, Susan? That's what I'm going to you.
No, I was going to list up. That's not the motion. Okay. That's just what we want to do. I'm telling you what the motion's coming to vote on it.
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to, normally I wait until after we talk about this to talk about where we are with the Northwestern Energy site, but it seems pertinent to the decision we're going to be making. I just wanted to make the rest of the board aware that I was able to get a hold of the appraisal that Northwestern Energy had engaged to determine the value for the property. The valuation came back at $60,000, which was well within the range of what we were hoping for the acquiring that piece. So that's, I think, reasonable news for us from the perspective of wanting to continue pursuing the site, because a lot of what we're doing with the SOA is related to us acquiring some.
That's all.
That's not a buy sell agreement, but that's what the appraisal reflected as a price.
Okay.
Mike, what's the timeline on this? I mean, we take it back to BSOA board after we agree on this.
I think if they vote on Friday to kind of accept the 6 or 7 things we're going to vote on today, which is what I just articulated, I think after their vote happens on Friday, unless some nuance comes up, we should be able to draft and we should be able to modify the existing agreement that we all worked on for so long to kind of fit these terms and have something on our table fairly quick. There's just one thing with this that's kind of getting into the weeds, which is Sweetgrass, the subdivision there, in their covenants, they talk about that property. So that plat that Northwestern Energy substation is on is that Sweetgrass plat. And it's kind of specific to Montana Power, which is now Northwestern Energy's use. And then there's a term in the covenants that states that, you know, hey, just so everyone knows in this association that this tract of land is for substation only, basically. So zoning allows for us to put our water tank there. It's a, you know, community asset zoning designation on it. It's just, we have the BSOA is committed to working with Sweetgrass to amend that out of the covenants and then support redefining this easement into a water utility instead of just using it for power.
Thanks.
So that'll be, to answer your question in a long way, that's probably what's going to take a little bit of time for them to sort through. They are amending the Sweetgrass covenants right now, which is a benefit to this. So they could add this onto it, and they got to send it to a vote of their membership and everything. So they might just add this onto it. I don't know what the timing is for that. Is there Sweetgrass people here? Yeah.
John, can I, I'm just going to let Clay speak for a second there, because he might fill in a gap that we have.
Actually, you hit it on it, which is use of this during Clay on the CPSOA. You hit on that. I was going to bring up the potential covenant issue that we had to make Sweetgrass and have them approved. So even if the board signs off on it, the PSOA board signs off on Friday, we still have to go get approval from. Yeah. Sweetgrass homeowners.
So that would be a contingent. Yeah, that would be a
timing. That's why
that would be a contingency item.
And I had that. I'm glad you brought up, because I was waiting to fill in any gaps. You nailed it. And that was one of my questions. And the question I had was this: would there be a way to get a variance from the covenant? Because anytime you have a construction project, there's potential for a variance if it's in a covenant.
Yeah, the covenants, we just went through this on something else. The variances are very difficult. Usually it's more of an exception that they put through. But we have to go back to them on a vote for, frankly, the SCO. So if we're going through a vote, we might as well include it. So we're getting through that as quickly as possible.
So that would be a conditional thing on this agreement, too. We just make it conditional on Sweetgrass releasing the obligation of requiring it to be a substation.
Yeah. Anything else you had?
Well, that was it.
Great.
Yes.
Microphone, man.
Hi, I'm Marianne. I'm stuck. I know Brian. I live in the Sweetgrass Hills. This is the first time I've heard that you're going to amend the covenants. I told Lisa that I would be happy to help work with the Sweetgrass people about any other variances, particularly relating to height of buildings. And really for Colebrook building. So,
well, I didn't even think of the height areas, but hey, that's all. I mean, I'm thinking of that from a tank.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. If I may, it's not, I'm sorry, BSOA is not amending.
I know.
BSOA has asked us to make amendments so they can put their maintenance and two apartments. So I'm just,
and it,
we're not doing anything, we're just facilitating.
I know, but I would be glad to help facilitate with the associations.
That's fantastic. We appreciate you all. You've been dealing with Lisa.
Yeah, she knows the way.
We got our certificate.
Thank you so much. Grateful.
He's on the record. Well, man, this part of it.
There you go.
Okay, anything else? Again, we gave Mike a lot of information over the weekend, and I appreciate him jumping on board at this. Anything else from the committee or board or on this topic? Mike, would you like to
entertain a motion? I'll make a motion to get a new agreement put together with the BSOA as it relates to the water right, the pond, and the Northwestern Energy site. Is going to contain 7.15 acre feet of fishery water that will be held in escrow until substantial completion of the pond rehabilitation, which we've all seen planned for, an easement to be rewritten in the Sweetgrass phase one plat that includes water, power, telemetry over the existing Northwestern Energy easement for a future 1 million gallon tank, access to and service to, temporary license that the BSOA will give us that will allow us up to 2 acres for construction of the said tank. What is the acreage of that lot?
0.2295.
The existing 0.23 Northwestern Energy utility track, if needed, would be larger to accommodate the 1 million gallon tank. Not any boundary adjustment to that track would be taken from some other track or that same track to make open space be net neutral on acreage. And Big Sky Water and Sewer District will ease lot H20 to allow for BSOA's access through lot H20 to access track B for maintenance and just access. I'm going to define that. And then BSOA will, this will all be stipulated on BSOA providing acknowledgement of Sweetgrass covenant that that utility tract can be utilized for water facilities. I think I got it off.
That's a motion. Susan, anything that we missed?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And the for the continuing terms of and the existing agreed upon easement, because we're getting an easement within the pond tract for our existing water right in our facilities. So that's just, it's not disputed, it's just incorporated in as part of the entire list of things on the agreement.
Yeah, there will be language in the agreement that wraps up the pond project.
Clay, any gaps that we need to fill? You know what? That's great call. So, Susan, if you're anything from you before I go to second, great. Then, how about second? Got it. All right. Now we're in discussion.
There was the issue about the existing tank being removed. I know you didn't want to put a date in there, but I still think it ought to be in there that if it's not being used at some point down the road, you can build a million gallon tank. It is down in that state to mediate. I think that's appropriate and necessary from our side. And this morning, we basically conceded and said, okay, you don't need to put a date in there for the gyms. You know.
So it's something to the idea of if abandoned, it will be removed. I mean, or is everybody okay with
yes.
that?
I mean, I'm.
Do you feel as though we need to, and I know we did have that on the table, do we need to?
So I'll add something to that motion, that everything I said, because I'm not going to say it again, but then, and we'll put this in the agreement that in any case that the $250,000 tank ceases to be active, gallon tank, sorry, is out of service for a period of more than 4 years, then we'll make measures to abandon it.
Second.
From the hip on it for years.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Give it a start. Yeah. Hey, man, appreciate all the time you put in today. I really do. It's been a long process. So we have that. We have a motion. We have a second. It's been amended. Everybody understands it. Any other discussion? All in favor?
All right.
Shrop, you okay with this one? This is an important one.
Yes.
Okay. Make it easy, big guys. All right. Thank you, Susan. Clay. Have a safe trip to that canyon.
Yeah, thanks for putting some on the agenda.
Yeah,
thanks for you.
So,
Mike, how did Mike study this for 2 hours since we left?
2 hours before we met.
Yeah. Okay, next up, we got this.
Can I get off a different subcommittee now? Do I have like a chit or something like that to hand in?
Oh, no. You're not going anywhere. So the sink's closed. Yes, he did.
They don't buy it.
Okay, so that was fine. We're in committees. Fine committee, Spanish Beach Committee. Do you have John Olson on there?
No.
Okay, probably didn't get the memo that it's 2 o'clock today because he's on every one of these. We haven't had any meetings specifically of the Spanish Peaks Committee. I was in another meeting with John Olson where he asked again, hey, how can we get some traction on some of the things that are going? And I think we as a subcommittee, which includes Dick, need to bump this up on the list for a response for the Spanish Peaks.
Well, for the last two meetings, we've talked about scheduling a committee meeting, and we haven't gotten that done. And part of it's the BSOA thing that I think is moving ahead again.
Don't give that Spanish Peaks Committee a pass.
Yeah, no, I think it's on us to work with them to schedule a meeting. Yeah. So that hasn't happened.
We need. I just want to be clear that Dick and I both have talked about it, and we bumped this up. So that's it. How about the pre-treatment committee?
We made several. We nearly had a meeting.
We nearly had it.
Yeah, it was this close.
But close call.
We had some conflicts, and so we didn't meet
since last week. Yeah, and part of that is meeting. I've been dealing with some family health stuff. So this week, maybe?
Right out this week.
You got another month, you got a month, but no reason to tell now.
Yeah, that's true.
You might as well take it for.
If I'm here, then I can get to it.
Yes. Okay, you guys are working on that, and you and I talked about maybe an introduction as well on some other resources. District Canyon Project Committee.
Oh, there's not much new to, other than the EPA designation of impairment, which I assume is on our agenda somewhere else, maybe not. But I think that designation was made, so that's going to change things a little bit as it relates to the District Canyon District stuff. I think, I don't know, I can't speak for Flatiron and Lazy J and all the grain fields that are out there, but I think there's going to be some additional scrutiny put on all that stuff over there that could be, yeah, EQ is going to require more monitoring. But your Chris knows a lot about it. I saw her name.
Not that particular aspect, but yeah, I mean, I would assume it probably would.
Yeah, so.
It should.
Can Kristen step up here and explain what this means maybe a little?
You can just use wireless mic. I put two articles in the board packet under general related to the EPA designation. DEQ had their May 1 public informational meeting, which was right here. I was in Utah, so I logged in, listened to it remotely. And the takeaway I got, it's like 6 years, 3 years of study on the river. And this is the long stretch of river, 40 miles of river from Yellowstone Park down to Spanish Creek. And then after that, they talked about 3 years of modeling work to develop ENDLs. My personal takeaway from all that was that I don't think it really helps the canyon much in their ability to get stuff done, because these studies would be ongoing, and if they try to pull permits for something down there, I think it potentially holds them up because they're studying it. And maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know, but I just didn't see it as real helpful for the canyon to make progress towards an eventual discharge permit.
I do think in the long run, it will be fairly beneficial if we get past the five-year outlook and get a TMDL put on the river, mm-hmm. that nutrient credits and things like that will become numeric, where we can start talking about incentivizing some people to get their grain fields offline, and how those nutrient credits work, and whether we have a pool to buy them back or whatever it is. But as it relates to river health, I think they're going to come up with a numerical standard that's going to benefit the Gallatin from a standpoint of having a numerical basis out there to incentivize people to extinguish some of the stuff that's causing the problems now.
The only additions I'd make is that I think the goal of the Canyon District is to reduce nutrients, so that is a benefit, right? And then the other item I want to talk about is that they didn't talk about permitting at all at that meeting last week. And so after that meeting and some thought, I think it'd be really helpful if we brought in the folks from the DEQ permitting department, Gavin planning, zoning, like others that have regulatory teeth, and get a better understanding of how this affects everything. And just have them all come to Big Sky and have a panel so people can ask questions.
We should have a joint district meeting at that. Like, we should bring our district together and the Canyon District together, and all sit down as a board meeting and have DEQ make that presentation. I think it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah. I know they may set one with four DEQ staffers on it that were remote into the meeting talking about permitting issues. That's the only one I know of that involved DEQ. And this was before the
DEQ meeting. I don't recall if there was much discussion on permitting. They were, but
they talked about, these were permit writers that were in that meeting.
I know the question was asked, but it wasn't addressed.
Yeah.
It wasn't specified, so I don't think they had an answer for that first time.
And that was all before the designation that just came.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's always good to have you, Chris. Succession planning. Mike.
There's got a couple of candidates filtering in. Brian and I interviewed the candidate for the board meeting here, and continue to search through the process, try to find, you know, two or three qualified candidates. We'll bring to Big Sky to meet the team and also meet the board at some point in time. So far, the candidates that trickled in have not been as good as the first round, but we'll just continue.
So as good as the one you got, right?
That's part of it.
He's failing. He's never leaving. I don't know if you heard Mike talk, we were doing the interview while you were in the room. He said he's in for 10 more years. Yeah, that's it.
Got an extended shadow period.
You're loving every minute of it. Okay. Mike's put a lot of time in this, and yeah, it's productive, but it's challenging. But it's challenging. But look at that Big Sky housing price. I mean, it has to impact. Anything else on that, Mike?
No.
Okay, since I tossed that to you, Flatiron Committee, and kind of update you, I've had 4 emails from Jim Musket today, and the consensus is he seems like he's very active with communication with you, Michael, and he's encouraged and feels it's going well and said, hey, he really would like to make a presentation on that or be the one to kind of carry that one at the next meeting. But Ron, if you have anything that you want to share, I know that was Jim's summary that he asked me to.
I wrote up some narrative on it that we'll take up under developments and subdivisions and all this.
A lot of communication. All right. Under business action items, we already covered BS Wave Pond project. And we're on to sewer permit, Boyne Levinsky Employee Housing Buildings B and C. Do you want to be available for Q&A on this? And what's the process going
on? Well, the Boyne applied for 2 buildings on their Levinsky Employee Housing project. And it's in the remainder parcel of section 30 up there.
That's the creek from Hill Condos in Mount Rumpit.
And I don't know the exact orientation of this. Caleb, maybe you can help with that, but. So the project sits up here. This is our well 4 wellhead here. We've got a shop on this part. Lake Condo sits here. They did their first building up in here. And these are 2 separate footprints, right? It's not, or is it one roof line? You're calling them B and C.
There's 2 roof lines, but they are connected. It's one big building, but there's 2 separate.
That you're calling B and C.
Yes.
So the permit is for the entire bill. It's 50.06 sets the fees in total. Our rules, anything over 25 SFPs goes to the full board for approval. So that's why this is under consideration as an action item.
Is it coming out of the 600 or the Boyne's agreed upon?
I don't think so.
No, these are Boyne's. These are the full. Yeah. We gotta get to be a part of the 600 somehow.
Yeah,
I gotta figure a way in on this one.
And there's no, there's nothing directing it toward the housing trust 600.
No,
yes,
not in this project.
No.
And then those 50 SFEs, Caleb will meet with probably Terry in the next week or so. We'll finalize that just to make sure that we're on the right number. But we went for the most numbers for board approval just in case it needed to be that amount, but it could be adjusted down.
Yeah, that's
right. Motion.
The emotion, the movement ahead. Yep.
We're okay with our wells and our wellheads and impact of those. Or
we had a little bit of drama around the excavation, the building site. They got pretty close to our building up there, I think.
Don't put any pictures up.
Cut the chat. Sounds like we have a plan to kind of check that, make sure structurally we're fine with that.
Yeah. And the excavation was engineered. The retaining wall was engineered. We follow those engineers' parameters, but we are following Chad's recommendation emails to monitor.
Ron, am I right that if we approve this, these 50 would come out of what you're showing is the 81.
And I think they're deducted out, not current total.
That drop
that occurred from last month.
So you're saying so,
it's already in 7. Yeah, I believe it's already been deducted out of there at 50.0.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, what's the number?
It's 81.84.
Yeah, which is good for a while. I don't know of any other big builds or permits coming in the short term, but that could change.
The layout of the plant looks like October
24. Yeah.
And how many do we have above and beyond the 81? So that another 400 on top of that with another mid application.
Yeah, that's about right. We need to update that analysis.
We got one more run at 400. And if you remember right, we had 800 for Wisconsin Vice, and we tapped 400 into that pool, and I think we have one more run at 400. So we have 480 now after this.
Which I think we're okay, but the delays aren't helpful toward that.
Let's just make sure we don't get into a fire drill to a project, whether it's a new hotel in town center or something.
Let's make that
stay ahead of this thing.
Wow, is it a first cut, first serve? I guess that's
it.
There is a little bit different. Theirs are under a court order that have been kind of commanded to be served by the district already. So there's really no, we don't have a choice on this, whether we want to do or not. So on something like this, because the day we can't serve their court ordered SFEs is
that's town center. Town center is the
court. I think it's your pool too. Or not court, but just agreement.
Yeah.
I think the key to this, and don't get me wrong, sorry, I'm going confusing, which in the past, and you and I, 5-7 years ago, all of a sudden we'd have someone come in and they go, well, wait, I've got to go through two meetings to make sure we get this done. Even if we do it today, let's make sure there's always adequate. If we get it even close and there's a project out there that could put us over the top, let's just get them into the system.
And so the procedure on that is we do a resolution to release, and they've typically been increments of 100 to 200 SFEs into the permit available pool. And sitting at 84, we may be looking at doing something like that toward the end of this calendar year, possibly.
Yeah.
It's been light for a while. I'm not suggesting it like anything other than trying to figure it out. I'm not opposed to the problem. I'm just trying to understand. We have this. What do things look like? What do we say? That's two, what are we at? 24. 30 months.
Well, Mike, I was going to say Yellowtail, not a negative or positive or anything. Originally, they were saying they're going to need 40 SFEs this summer. So that was a number from last summer. It's going to be far less than that. But the key is if all of a sudden you have a Yellowtail and another project come online, you don't want to be scrambling and having special meetings so that you can have adequate SFEs available.
We have 17 months.
17 months.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 23.
Yeah. you're getting older.
Yeah, sorry.
You said 30 months ago.
I shouldn't have done that.
I might be pressed.
So I guess rather than keeping this on the stream, I'm going to make a motion to approve this.
Yeah. I'll second.
Okay.
And just to clarify, Riverview SFEs don't come out until plant is complete.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a lot of dirt moving, but
we do have another additional power light building probably going in this year as well.
Yeah, we had lunch with CJ last week, and he was kind of telling us some of the scheduling on these things, which is helpful to us. And that was one of them, the middle building down there.
There's some other benchmarks in here. I mean, we have to take a little bit of the burden on, I think, at some level of how this thing's been delayed, but I think Scott can chime in. And once the liquid treatment facilities are being done, I think our flows benefit from that, right?
Your capacity?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that Mike's ever been on, but go ahead.
Well, there's no VA.
No, he keeps looking at
it's not a Mr. Microphone. We don't
it's not karaoke now, you think.
You have to communicate that with the EPU, I guess. They should be okay. Milestone 2, I believe it is.
Yes.
But you do, I think, 250, 300 SFEs per year, historically. So it is kind of dovetail.
I'm going to let you go, Steve, in just a second, but we do have a motion in a second. You can divert from that.
Seconded.
Al made the motion, Mike seconded. Any other questions related to the Levinsky Lodge so Caleb can shoot the cannon?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously.
When
you're anything, yeah.
When is that gonna be online?
Scheduled for July of next year.
July of next year.
You want to go back to Steve then?
Steve. I'm looking at the agenda, I'm sorry. We're a little off, but go ahead, Steve, talk to us.
Just commenting, who's gonna comment that Riverview and the remaining chunk of power line will draw on a pool of SFE's reserve under the ILA with WISRAM?
Correct. That's the understanding. The question that we had was regarding the plant upgrade and tying that in. It's related to the plant.
The answer is no.
Wait a minute.
He asked, is your question is, are the 600 SFEs part of the remaining pool that we have of the current plant?
The project that we're talking about will draw on the SFEs that were reserved under the ILA with WISRAM. That ILA was around the construction plant.
Oh.
And the canyon.
Sorry, the answer is yes.
Reserved.
Now, 600. 600. Yeah. About 13 and a half have been used thus far.
Right.
Okay. Good reminder. And we're all on the same page, I think.
Yeah, just okay. Making sure of that.
I thought you were asking if the 600 were part of this plan.
No,
you know that. Yeah.
Ask for SFEs.
Okay. All right.
That's a happy pup.
Yeah, sure is.
That is guy.
Miss?
Yeah, no.
All right, let's go to old business, capital improvements.
Yeah, I'm going to have Scott come to the table and Trent Dexterhouse, their brother engineer from RSCI. We're going to spend some time walking through a number of sections of this, starting with Scott's latest monthly report, which is a big topic, and then which has to do with our project schedule. So we've been on the phone quite a bit talking about delays to our project, most of which is related to the electrical equipment. We've got a vendor in Minnesota, Wunderlich Malik, that is the subcontractor providing all the panels and the PLCs for this plant. They did this to us once before. They're doing it again. You know, Trent has been in bit to try to pin them down on dates that they think they'll have this year. And I mentioned in my write-up on this that there's a potential the building and all the site cleanup will be done, and we'll be waiting for the electrical equipment so we can run the plant. This has a trickle-down effect, which runs down into our ability to run liquids through the plant, flipping over from the old SBR to the new MBR tank. This was taken about a week ago. So they're making good progress. They've got two more walls to finish up here for the biobasins. And then the phase two concrete work happens this summer. That's out here, and they'll be here working on that. But they also have the form support for the well storage over on the south side, east of our storage pond. That gives us the ability to basically go from the plant to that and be booster station one, which sits right down here. So it gives us the ability to bypass our storage ponds, which we've never had that before. Can't use that until we run liquids through the plant. And so all of this hits us in terms of our overall scheduling. So in Scott's report, I'm going to go ahead and...
What is the flow rate of our plant?
Existing plant?
No, like if this is going to allow us to go directly from the plant to irrigation, what's that flow rate look like?
whatever's coming into the plant that day, although you will, in theory, be able to split some flow to the ponds and some flow to YC1. Yeah. So it gives you that flexibility if you don't want to take the ponds offline. You just want to feed people fresh reuse water, but yet also store the extra because maybe the plant flows 900,000 gallons because it's New Year's Eve or something. A lot of times you'll have less water coming out of the plant than you might be wanting to ship out to irrigation. It's just depends on the time of year, really.
That'll be a big win.
Definitely.
And that's why we added this into the project in the first place, is it gives us tools we've never had before. Especially managing water, going
through. About maintaining ponds.
Right,
right.
Yes. And we can draw them down in the fall, do some maintenance on them, but you're still putting water in them all the time. So this is new territory. It should be good.
So progress is going well down there. This is Trent Dykstra House. He's both filling in for Daniel. Daniel's on vacation, usual site superintendent. Ron and I have been working with Trent this month to try to, based on our conversation with you last month, so let's try to put some dates on this. We don't feel real great about just having, well, we know it's delayed, but we don't know how much. So that was the goal, was to try to update the project milestones and substantial final completion. And while Trent did a really good job trying to do that, he's still leery of, he doesn't trust anything more like Mallet puts in front of him at this point in terms of dates, because they pulled our jerker chain many times already. And it's too late to go with some other systems integrator. You'd have to back up 2 years, and they're not alone. They're a lot of the systems integrators, they're all getting the same equipment from Allen Bradley or ABB or Cutler Hammer, whoever it is. And that's the stuff that we don't have as a supply chain right now. So it is what it is. The thing to remember here is that because of that leeriness of trust in what Warner McMallick is saying today, Trent put an extra 90 days on their current delivery dates, and they've already eaten into that 2 weeks. So I think it's a good move. But those dates you see in our letter and Trent's letter, and that would be on a change order, a no-cost change order that Ron would need to sign this week, would put the milestones at those new dates. So it's a best conservative.
Yeah. Estimate. So really call them in that lower table where it says estimated best case completion date. So I've been talking with Wunderlich quite a bit, right? So they still have to get the components from their suppliers. It's got to go to their factory in Minnesota. They've got to build everything, then ship it out to us. So they've given me those completion dates. And if we take their dates, we'll be done the end of this year. I just don't trust them. So I've just added basically 90 days, right? So maybe I'm a little doomsday, worst case scenario, that's that March date. But if they hit their dates, we'll be running liquid startup by the end of the year, right? So I've talked to Ron Bucher and in presenting to you guys, said, well, I guess there's no harm in overperforming versus saying, let's take the optimistic approach and we're going to hit the end of the year and then having to come back to you guys later and say, oh, well, you know, they slipped again. Could we get another 2 months? And so you may remember I was back here in November and I had talked to you guys. We knew that this schedule extension was going to be forthcoming. At that time, I was projecting like an October, November startup. So if they hit their dates, now we're not talking about like a December startup. So it's not quite as catastrophic as we once thought. So that's maybe why you see the big swing into like mid, late 24. It's really a worst case scenario.
Now, we gave them contract exclusions for supply chain issues and all that stuff. I'm assuming our contract has all these clauses in it.
All it has is the same force majeure language that everybody has. We don't specifically say, you know, much more beyond that. It's an act of God. And that's what everybody that's going through this is claiming. There have been projects that have gone to court over force majeure, over COVID supply chain interruptions, that basically the courts have sided with the contractors or the suppliers to say, yeah, this is not something anybody could have controlled. And so I don't.
When do we start talking about our opportunity costs?
So I think Well, Ron and I talked about usually those LDs would be a lot based on your RPR and construction admin. We can throttle up and back and whatever with RSCI so that the building's complete, but we're waiting on some drives and some PLC cards. We're not, you know, Chandler's not down there. We're gone. And we just pop up here if somebody comes up on the job to do something substantial. But with the SFE applications have been so quiet that we've all been like, hey, this is okay. But now it's lining up close. And when folks come for those SFE applications, like they're not connecting for a year and a half in a lot of cases. What DEQ typically does is put you kind of in intensive care like you did with Belgrade, where you say, all right, here we are. Here's construction startup milestone two, whatever, this date. And we have this many SFEs left to award. And we have this many permits that are out for connection right now. So you just have to write up.
That's part of it. I'm not necessarily talking about running into a wall of capacity, but the benefit of the treatment levels to our irrigation systems and stuff. There's big ideas and great ideas about how this water is going to be treated on the golf courses and how much better it's going to be. And we had, yes, go through another irrigation season without being able to utilize this highly treated water. So there's that. And then is our bond rate fixed? Well, that's a blessing. So mm-hmm. Good thing
for that, 20 years.
Yeah. Good thing that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So I understand there's soft cost impacts and all that stuff, but there's other stuff going on there that we've got a lot of money invested as a community. We want this treatment. We want this treated water. I know it's not your deal. I'm just talking out loud. And
looking no, at I, you. Believe me. I,
well, your comments on liquids is very real. We're looking at liquid startup 1 year later with this latest round of scheduling. The work we did last summer with Synagrow was huge in terms of our ability to maintain good water with the SBR system we've got. We saw those values drop all summer long last year, and we think that trend will happen again this year. But we are going to lose a full year of being able to irrigate with the MBR water.
Can we hand operate?
I mean, you'd have to come in with old school relay switches.
I thought about that.
It would take more people.
Everyone take a shit.
Yeah. Okay, board members, we're going to have you guys run it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really following this conversation.
We'll show you. Are you kidding me?
Sorry about that. Part of that startup process is just checking through those. You don't want to operate those membranes in hand. We want to go through all those checks and say, yes, they passed. And then there's a commissioning period there where they prove that what they built works before they turn the keys over to you.
And you got startup people coming in from DuPont that they won't even come in here unless the system's set up with all the integration there to start the plant up, because they got a whole bunch of programming to do in the SCADA system for all the run times.
Yeah.
There's really no way to run it.
Right. Right. I mean,
it's all right. We get it.
No,
we're all working in the same soup here. I just wanted
to. And I asked the question, what's the legal world doing with this stuff nationally? You know, and they're all, it's like Scott said, the courts have weighed in early on this, siding with the force majeure.
And so we've called, right? So Wonderlic isn't the only game, right? There's, as far as integrators, right? People who gather all the components and build these, there's Taurus is another big name in the game. Automation Works, Control Engineers, so I guess regionally they do that a lot. So like talk to those people and they can all rattle off 10, 15 projects in the same thing. You know, when here's industrial wastewater application, I was talking to a guy last week and like, yeah, I got a 70 unit apartment complex on a panel. So, right. You
know, oh, yeah.
You've heard stories.
I got three other ones, same boat.
Yeah. So you're living in real time with us. You can't buy your way ahead in line. They don't care.
Unless you're the Department of Defense.
I tried that. We had two Air Force contracts. And it was like at Nellis Air Force Base in Vegas. And the Department of Defense said, here's a letter. We moved to the front of the line. We're national security. And Eaton said, that's nice. Like, we don't care. Like, you're whatever, number 3,000 in line. So they don't care if you're the Department of Defense or
municipality. You're going to the audit.
Yeah. I didn't say that, but Eaton, you know, people are manufacturing this, so domestically you can.
We can't control the time. It's frustrating. So we're trying to control the money and have it be just basically a partnership where we all understand that it's not working out the way any of us wanted, but we're going to work together to not have it become a, you know, throwing mud, essentially. But it hadn't hit me until somebody applied for whatever it was, 60 SFEs, that could fire back up. And then we would be and we're putting pressure on you to finish that up, or at least have it completely ready to go, so that when that last driver, whatever it is, arrives, we're firing it up.
So I mean, you can look, without digging too far, and just if you look kind of in the center there, under estimated ship date from WME, that's Wunderlich, so one column over. So they're saying, and he's admitted and confessed that he has a little fluff in his number, but he's saying, so like the MCCs, those are your main guys right there, right? So he's saying August and then October, right? And so I'm obviously, yeah. So that's when Wunderlich says they're going to ship it to us. I just don't trust them enough. So that's why I've added my...
And you're going to spell time, you know, 12 months or 11
months. No, it's usually about 60 to 70 days.
What was his fluff that Wunderlich's?
No one knows.
Yeah, well, they won't confess it, but
he's
admitted. So he said he put about 2 to 3 weeks contingency in his numbers, right? And then I fluffed those additionally, right?
But he already ate into his 90 days.
So what's interesting is, so we had this call, whatever the date of his letter was in here. I think it was the 5th of, it's in your packet, but you know, I think it was like the 5th of May. And then he sent me an email on Friday. Yeah, we bumped 14 days. So of my 90-day contingency, or call it his 2-3 week contingency, he's already taken it back from the time that basically he published this letter to us sitting here.
We're still a long way from it actually happening. So
So
their strategy will be to finish the facility so that we're not messing around down there, you know, piddling along on a slow drawn out schedule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, conduits are all in. We're just gonna pull wire.
Conduits are in, it's exactly right. Okay. The main building transfer switch will be here in June. Building will be powered, right? Like the HVAC system coming around, the lights are on.
We got our generator all dialed in.
Generator's another
transfer switch.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the transfer switch we've got, but the generator itself is like a mid 24 item. So the building will hold, like it can run, right? You can power pumps, right? But you have no intelligence, no brains to run it, to tell it turn on, turn off.
That's where you come in now.
Yeah.
Something else I didn't write about is, so they got this long list of all this delayed gear, and you almost have to have all of it hit their targets for this thing to really be fully operational. So if two or three of these things stumble, I think that still causes us trouble.
Yeah, but that's where we could get creative, right? With Bucher, or like you're talking about, maybe there's certain sections where maybe the MCC's no way. Like those top four line items, that top five, like that, those have got to be there. Top three specifically. I mean, those are the brains.
And they're not making any claim for additional money for any of this year. They're sticking to their...
And they said, believe me, we have no incentive, because that's where you look at percent completed on the job, right? And you think, well, there's like $20 million left to build on the job. Well, $5 million of that's the INC and electrical package. And then the phase two is $6 million. So like over half of the work left is either phase two work or that. So their billings to date on their... I think they have about like a $2 million contract just on their stuff. I think they've billed like $50,000 and they've had a contract for 2 years. So they're like, this isn't financially beneficial to us either.
And Brian, just FYI, Shrop is dropping off and Paulie's got another meeting.
Is that by the chat? It's up there in Vince.
Yeah.
Well, if we land on these dates, when do we start communicating to individuals that projects are contingent upon a completion date? So it's like we owe them some information.
The power line will review the two. I think Caleb's project should be okay. Your summer of 24 with that, I think we're okay with that.
Well, you still have 1,200 in the old plan, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point.
We got the 480, so.
But the Riverview is contingent upon the plan being completed.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out how to share correct information, but projects that are contingent upon completion of the new plan.
And hearing about it through this meeting, just something to share your thinking about, you know, someone.
That's a conversation we go to DEQ with.
Yeah, I think we should though. I think it feels like this is going to be delayed. Best case scenario, even if you got 2 weeks back, whatever, it's still going to be 60 to 90 days, which pushes, you know, all these projects. We should probably have some of those conversations, it feels like.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, as painful as it is, I think like a quarterly letter where we say this is construction schedule, this is the SFE development absorption rate, whatever we call it, based on those projections, everything looks good.
Standing dialogue. Is our list of continuing projects just reviewed?
I think it's just those two, I believe.
Yeah. And that's one letter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But if we could go back to DEQ and get some level of approval, then I think that puts the ease on the timelines for those projects. I mean, I was at that groundbreaking and supposedly this winter, right? We're in there, but can't with the plan being delayed. So it feels like we should probably start to communicate.
Well, and we can, as a board, make a business decision to dip into the 480 or whatever and try to serve those in the interim. If we saw some light at the end of the tunnel, I mean, October's water, this December's a long ways away. So we might have more validity towards the timing of this midsummer. We might use that bridge 480 or something like that to get us to full flow of this, just in consideration of maybe some of our failure.
We had lunch with CJ. I don't know how many buildings are coming online.
I don't really remember, Rod.
Three.
Yeah, I think it's three.
You think we know. We kind of work for the trip. I told you guys all along that. I don't really.
Do you remember, Vince?
I think it's three.
Three.
I think it's three.
Three buildings?
Yeah, there's deadlines. And basically, everything that needs to come online this year for the.
That's the myth.
And that needs to be
able to deal with.
Option for their exceptions grant or
yes,
whatever.
That's
key. I agree.
Well, I know you guys know this because you're obviously in the industry, right? But we just broke ground on Preston, Idaho wastewater plant, 60 million, kind of similar job. We didn't even have notice to proceed yet, and they were already going to DEQ to ask for basically a 6-month extension because of lead time on gears. So, I mean, they've awarded the contract. The contractor's been mobilized, and they're already saying. Lead time on gears, whatever, 102 weeks. So, but delaying projects before they even start.
Yeah.
At this point, unfortunately.
Well, the reason we're here, well, part of the reason is you all pointed out, hey, we need a little bit of clarity on these milestones and completion dates. But right now, it says that they would be starting up the liquids and meeting that milestone next week. So we do need to basically give Ron authority to sign a no cost change order, but a schedule extension, and we can get the change order in front of him.
How much is we talked about? How much time extension we're looking at?
It'll just be the days that are behind that. So it's roughly about 180 days, and give or take, depending on the milestone.
So the blue table here, these were the original dates, and then we redlined those and we had new dates which have been redlined to these new dates, which are the new projected dates, or those line up
match up to Trent's estimated worst case completion date.
Yeah. So
best case, Mortlet Mallet comes through, they install it, and we would all have friendly pressure on you to move faster than just because you have this now, don't use it all.
No, we have no incentive. Like this, you know, my field office overhead is tapped out. So every day that we're here for superintendents and toilets and trailers doesn't make me money to draw it out.
Right.
So, Ron, can you send a letter to Low Mountain or whatever, letting them know that this is the current update as of today?
It's gonna get posted in the paper anyways, but it'd be good.
Back here.
It'd be good to put it in a letter.
Oh, easy.
But it would, it might be nice to have a formal communication from.
That's what I'm saying, Mike, it's, you don't wanna read, nothing against the paper, but you won't, you don't wanna have to read about this paper if you're not a project.
That's at 5 o'clock, is that right?
They got a couple days actually.
You need a motion to do this, or?
It wouldn't hurt to have a motion in the record for the authorizing me to sign a change order for contract.
All right.
I'll make a motion for no cost change orders, that's correct. To make that.
Identify the date.
With the completion date now, final completion October 18th, 2024.
That's, this isn't what they're asking for. Are they asking for October 20? This is what you got calculated on. What's the contractor asking for the change order?
That, so that's the final, so those would be the milestones, right?
October 18th.
Okay, I thought that was maybe Scott stepped on number two again.
No, he's just, there he was bracketing of, if I bought what, wonder what Malik's telling me right now, you could have those dates on the left, but then we'd probably be right back in here in the fall saying, hey, we need another one.
So Mike made the motion, and that is the correct date, October 18, 2024. How about a second?
Second.
Discussion? Anything else that needs to be done? I think we just, not so much of the motion, but let's make sure we communicate this perfectly, that's all. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried unanimously.
One question, who's the recipient of the letter? Would it be CJ or Matt?
I wish I didn't know, but I honestly don't. I'm fired.
Yeah.
Fire's everywhere. It'd be following over.
That works.
Don't send it to me.
Who was the second? Mike.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter.
Okay.
To scroll through the rest of my letter.
Yeah, let me get to it.
Next. So we were gonna do a tour. Your date got moved, and we'd like to do it in June, because that third basin, I think, will be pretty much complete. And that's gonna put some pressure to clean up the site.
We need to clean up after the snow.
Tour worthy.
Yeah, it's not tour worthy.
Next page. Collection system, all still waiting on the last 5% of the manholes to be surveyed. Now that snow's gone, TDMH should be able to go do that, and we can finish your model. Reuse management plan, reuse booster station PER, and your potable reuse work all just happen to be finishing up at the same time now. So the thought is we just, Vaughn and I go to Helena and present that work at a very high level of EQ to try to jumpstart their understanding that they have those documents and turn them back around, at least the reuse management plan. It'd be nice for them, for you to get their acceptance of that, since it might be your next regulatory document. So we can book that. I don't know how much you want to get into this. The Canyon signs WGM's contract. We're under some agreements with them to start that work. We also got some additional funding from BizRad for those projects. $50,000 to do your right-of-way easement land acquisition work, which will be the first leg of this work, even though we understand that it's not a feasible project yet. We will still go design that pipeline, line up right-of-way easements and land acquisition for you in case. And then if you want to sit on that for a couple of years until you feel like you have full information that the project is feasible, you're going to get the disposal down there that you want for the agreement. That's going to be the hard part. And to Ron's point earlier, who knows what the impairment status and TMDL work will do to that feasibility determination. Could take a while to figure out how much disposal, if any, you're going to get down there.
That's a while.
Ron says 6 years.
That's what DEQ said.
We asked them point blank at the hearing, could there still be a nutrient trading, offset work done before all that work is finalized? And they said, yes, in theory, they would look at, well, if we want to take 150 septics off right now and get 75% of that nutrient load for rapid infiltration basins down there, we could. WGM has to go do that work first, make sure that the hydrology supports it or the hydrogeology supports it. But you have the funding. You authorized us in March to get going on it. Just want you all to be aware that, you know, we're going to study a pipeline alignment and right-of-ways easements and land acquisition that could possibly never happen, or it could not possibly not happen for 5 years.
Scott, how does that affect the funds, you know, for the resort tax funds for the lift station?
The $12 million that you were essentially promised if you would do this.
It's in some short time or 3-year time frame, something like that. Yeah.
That's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head. That any local agreement had a drop dead date?
It has a date. I don't have it.
I wonder if we should spend some time. I don't know, maybe Kristen, you can help us. I mean, somebody help us understand what the implications of this actually are and get the due diligence done on that end so we can make better decisions on and everything, essentially. There's like a lot of uncertainty and unknown right now, kind of swinging the shadows. It's 6 years before we have the ability to even move forward with anything, spending money on easements, and doesn't make an ounce of sense to me. I think we should figure out what the implications are first. My perspective.
That might be that joint meeting with DEQ. They could probably articulate that better than Kristen.
Yes.
Fair enough. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
so if you could help us set that, that would be the key.
Yeah. Like, I understand what you're saying, but there is also a scenario, I guess, where they would say, no, please go take some nutrients out of the watershed for us. In the meantime, we're happy to let you do that while we figure out this TMDL, maybe. Then it still makes sense to have the pipeline designed and the lift stations and connections ready to go, but it just, you know, what are the odds? 50-50? I don't know.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of hard.
But the three properties that are in the district for the canyon, are two of them are the ones that are being further scrutinized for their flow. So are they going to rewrite all their permits for this connection to the lift station, maybe? Right. But remember, we want their drain fields too. Which that'll be the trigger of the no.
Mm-hmm.
We start balancing nutrient credits in the middle of their study. I don't know. That's a question for DEQ. You want everyone to take a timeout down there for 6 years while you guys figure out the baseline and then go from there? That's unreasonable. That's probably open for litigation just alone with that decision. So someone's got to continue to move forward down there, I'd say. I don't know what that is, but.
Do you have a subcommittee? You have obviously the canyon subcommittee, maybe start chewing through some of this in that before.
I think those are all questions for DEQ at that meeting.
Okay.
Is DEQ going to be there bringing they'll bring their environmental people there, obviously, but are they going to bring their legal counsel too?
I don't know. This is just an idea I came up with.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea because we all have these questions. And this, we got a huge resort tax amount of money that we're supposed to be spending on a pipeline that might be a piece of dry infrastructure.
All right, Guy has raised his hand. Can you allow Guy to speak there?
He just asked my news.
Yeah.
What's that?
He can do it from his end.
He's good.
I thought you were the gatekeeper.
That's what he was muted.
It's been a webinar. It's been a webinar weekend.
Hello, Guy.
Hey, gentlemen and ladies. Wanted to opine from my organization's perspective on the question you posed about what does an impairment determination mean while you have a pending, still to be completed inventory baseline, and then ideally the pollution diet actually created. And our organization's position is federal law is very clear. You can't add anything new in terms of your point sources and add anything also in terms of trading, et cetera, until you have your plan completed. And that's based on Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals precedent that went up to the United States Supreme Court. They denied certiorari. And what that essentially means is law of the land as regards anything that could cause or contribute to a pollution that's causing that impairment and for which you still have to develop TMDLs. You can't do anything until the TMDL is created.
Right.
But what if you're improving the situation, Guy? Like if we're
I think you can always take something off. It's just that you're not going to be able to realize the credit of being able to add anything new until after the TMDL is created.
That's a good clarification. What's that?
Under that, there's not much motivation.
There's no motivation.
Well, you take it backwards, you just let it pollute itself very poorly. Watch it do that. Set up the nutrient standards, and then everyone starts working within those nutrient standards, creating things in and out.
But I think Mike hit some of the nail on the head there, which is there's some ambiguity about whether or not we need to have a more stringent criteria for the river. We don't know. We also don't know what the exact variability that's happening and why it's certainly just happening in the last 5 years. And I think that, again, when you think of it from strictly a permitting perspective, the safest approach from a liability perspective, if you're thinking with the defense attorney at DEQ, is that, well, waterkeeper and the conservation community that advocate and on this stuff are probably going to sue us if we try to issue anything new. And they're right. My position would be you can't lawfully, underneath of EPA's regs that have been on the books for 30 years, you can't add anything more until you come up with your basic pollution diet. And as Mike insinuated, you got to come up with that overall allocation. And that's going to be something less than what it is today. And I think at that point, you come into that scenario of, again, as Kristen noted, if you're going to improve things, which is to say you're taking off a certain amount of mass loading from XYZ septics, those are all on the table. But that's going to be part and parcel of that total maximum daily load and overall cap on status quo, as well as driving down aggregate gross produce into the river system.
Do you agree with about a 6-year timeline, Guy?
Based on what DEQ is saying, I think they could get it done quicker. I think, and Kristen could speak to this, 3 years is the minimum baseline to get a defensible data set, unfortunately. And they need to do a lot more heavy lift than what they've done so far. I mean, they funded Kristen, in my opinion, at a very bare bones level. Now they got to go nuclear level. So 3 years of science. And then, frankly, if they really wanted to put the money towards it, I think they could do the modeling within a year or 2 years. 6 years sounds they're hedging their bets. But that's my take at the 30,000 foot.
Well, that factors in. That's for what you said. Again, everything you guys done, that's it. There's a long road to go. There's a lot of change coming. What does this do? Like the quarry down there? Where are they at? Okay.
No.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. We've done some legal support for the state court case with Cottonwood.
Never mind. Thank you.
We put that under a new task order. If you remember last year, I think it was Mike saying, Don't just lump that under district engineering services next time. And there was a next time. We've spent about $10,200 supporting DGS on that. We'll see. It's in the packet.
I'm pulling it up here, right here.
I have all the hours and shift notes on that if you need it.
There's a summary. What I wasn't clear about is if that's a new 12 or if that covers what they've already done to date and adding more into it. You told me that covers what's been done to date and it's increasing it from
in slightly, yeah, we spent about 12,200, so that was just a an estimate, and if it continues to go, then we, and if we were pulled into expert witness testimony or something like that, then we
would. We're certainly waiting for the district court's decision. We may, that may end, or it could go to trial. If it goes to trial, that wouldn't be enough. We'd be back doing this again.
Most of that work was March for Rosh Wade,
which is our district court case.
So that's it. Pre-treatment. Let us know if you want help. We have an intern that's going to help Challer with all the concrete pouring on phase two. So we'll have people up here. We have staff that can help do, I don't know what your permit, where it stands now, but writing a permit for the pre-treatment and locating grease traps and inspecting them, that sort of thing. I'm happy to help.
So we're sitting at about 5,000 yards for overall concrete.
Yeah.
And just under five. The total build, counting the phase two basin work, is 9,000. So we're a little more than halfway.
We approved the bond ordinance, going back to that. Are we going to start building the mechanisms to enforce it?
Well, that's some of what we're trying to do down in Fort Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And we'll end up pulling in some additional help with that outside our current staff. And that's kind of what Scott was touching on.
Yeah. We're 58% spent on our construction admin contract. And that, and we didn't push an amendment on phase two concrete or on the pond work. It's all like, well, we're up here. Let's just, you know, we estimated the cost of all that work 2 years ago now, and we're not going to finish it for another 2 years. So if you want to meet with the subcommittee and look at that, we have budget's fine. We're not asking for an extension on our work or more money to watch them. The idea being, again, that they'll finish up the facilities, Challer will get off site, and then we'll come back when the drives are here. All I have.
We would need a motion at today's meeting to authorize sending this to the board. Task order six of it.
Task order six,
which is
task order six was work that we drafted up, never ended up doing for right us. We always have this task order six. We just used it for legal support.
That's what.
I make a motion to approve task order number six.
In a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Terry, does this go into our legal expense?
There, I have a separate line item for the additional consulting under legal. So yes, it'll be in the budget.
Yeah, that was part of the discussion we had a couple of meetings ago where we weren't allocated resource access. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to, because we had a conversation earlier about when we look at our overall budget, part of the reason we're not looking as good as we projected is our legal expenses are roughly 100,000 more than 200 we budgeted, is that right?
Yes.
So just for general awareness.
When we get done with all this legal, I want you to put together a study of what it would take to turn our wastewater into potable. I bet you the number might be close to the same that we spent on legal fees.
We have that. Well, we do, honestly, the potable reuse project. And this is not a agenda or anything, but that is your backup to the backup plan for disposal. It's not going to be fun. It'd be a 200-300 GPM potable reuse project here, and then we put it into your distribution system. You need to pilot for 2 years before you do that. The other one that I think should all still think about is firelight. Like we still need the reuse management plan. Has those 3-4 projects out there is what's next if the canyon doesn't turn out. If disposal of the canyon doesn't turn out.
Motion second. So you said it there, but
yeah,
an additional spend of what, 12,000?
Not additional, it's increasing the available to 12. We've already sent 10 to.
I haven't billed it because I didn't have a mechanism to build.
So this is a lot of Zoom.
It's mostly spent. Got it. So it's continuing. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Thank you for the second. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Scott, we're getting fired up those irrigation meetings here pretty soon. Maybe sooner than we thought.
If there wasn't anything that happened in my email.
I don't think we even.
Next.
No.
Puts us down to development subdivision. Talked about Yellowtail. They moved in. Wayneless did, and they're subcontractors. So there's a lot of yellow on our down there. Started to scratch dirt around. We did our water main replacement, 800 feet inside of 2 weeks. Vince sent me this picture last week. So they're prepping for sod for this Wednesday.
It's a lot better than that today.
Yeah.
And then what's that?
It's all sold out.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. That project went very well.
I got a compliment on that. How fast that turned out.
We've pushed extremely hard to make this as quick and painless as possible. And it has taken a lot of effort from our crew and our contractor doing the work. We've had the last little bit of tie on down there in the cul-de-sac. We're going to do a final shutdown on Wednesday that'll put the lower half of Yellowtail out of service for, we're hoping for 4 or 5 hours, but we're going to schedule an 8-hour shutdown for that. And then we will be wrapping up and done with this project. And it has been really good.
Thanks.
And the Big Sky Golf Course guys have been great through the
years. Appreciate them doing something like that this time of year, just before you get and go. You can land a plane there right now. It's so smooth.
The rest of it, the fairway gets sod, all the other stuff just gets seeded, right?
Yeah. So basically anything that's the actual course will get sod and everything this else will be seeded with native.
Yeah, that's just your old driving.
Yeah.
It's your old.
There is a
baseball field.
Joel.
Maybe another thing to mention is there is a large pile there. We ran into the issues while we were excavating the water line that the subgrade material was less than ideal to backfill with. The moisture content was extremely high. The golf course guys do want to use that material for berming. So there's a big pile there that's going to stay there until they decide where they want it for berming. And then it'll get built, used built with berms. So.
Probably a long black otter.
Is that where the sod came from down the corner of Blue Coyote and the Spur?
No, that was just a separate order.
No, I'm saying someone disposed of a bunch of sod right in the corner.
I'm not sure. We'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I got to be careful. Someone did it at like 10 o'clock at night, I think. And she showed it up one night.
And then Riverview, I think everybody can see that Monarch moved in. They're a new contractor from Kalispell area. We had a pre-con meeting with their guys a couple weeks ago, and they're off and running, so it's going to be busy over there for a while. Flatiron, there were a couple emails in the board packet. One was from Jim Potts talking about some of the water test work. Jim would be our guy, and then Pat Eller's mentioned in there. Pat Eller's a hydrogeologist from Morrison, Maryland. We'd be working for the Flatiron Group. Jim's just trying to get an understanding of what the testing protocol is going to be, which would be the stuff we went through with Mark Canane's recommendations. I took my list from the last meeting, my bullet list, and then the underlining is additional narrative I added into here. So this first one was based on some of the comments that came out from the last board meeting where board said that we don't want to commit to all of it until we get this well testing vetted to know there's that much water there available. The wells are eventually come over the district. There's an email from Michael Schreiner in the board packet that kind of goes through the list that Jim had put forward. And there were some questions that come up, like the treatment costs. Michael had asked a question in his response, is it required anyway? No comment on perfecting easements for the sewer and water pipeline in the corridor. Drilling well 9 for part of the well testing protocol is still to be determined. I know Boyd's looking at building a road down in there for us to get to it from above, which is a lot of work to get down in there, but, and I don't know, they haven't started anything yet, but they were looking at routing.
Keeping an eye on the communication.
Yeah, and we haven't had any meetings with Flatiron Group, and part of that's just trying to get through the BSOA stuff, which I think we've got a path forward for that now.
Well, not just that, I think, you know, Jim agreed to kind of take this on, and he's been going one-on-one. He's going to get
stuck here, though, on some of these points. And
yeah.
That may need to be elevated. Well, and I this is my comment. We haven't scheduled a meeting until we do that. Pump test work should be put on hold, in my opinion, until we work through some of these bullet list things here. And it goes back to why do the pump test if you can't get to the end game? I think the 850 SFEs, you know, it was for the Gallatin County Park development, and they've kind of opened up the scope of that in two ways. One is to potentially use some of that in Madison County, and then they've indicated they may go talk to the housing trust or work with housing. So you could be potentially looking at some of that 600 SFE commitment as employee housing up there. I've seen nothing from the housing trust that there's anything in front of them for that, but it was one of the things in the emails. I don't know if Jim's still on the call.
Or who else gets on?
He's on. I could go to them.
What's that flyer? And also wants the 850 SFEs available for the Gallatin and Madison County properties they own.
But yep.
There's a part that's not in the district anyway. So are they asking for all that to be included?
Not sure. That's Jim's email. This is the one I was talking about. So this is in response to an email Jim put forward. There's actually three wells up there. One of them, I mean, it could go either way, but. So this is the one that Jim had in the testing protocol right here. That well 9, which is the well we drilled to 140 feet before we pulled the rig last year. And maybe we can get there from the top side.
Or it's back where we started. I don't know why we're going back there again.
Right.
Well, this.
Right. That's why I say we should probably get in the room together and try to work through some of these before start spending money on drill rigs for well testing.
Yeah.
This is the question.
The other one that was in that is the making the 800 FSCs fungible across all properties outside of the district.
Right. Yeah. I think that's fine.
You're getting
there. Right there.
So this would be an annexation. If we allow that, it would be an annexation of district boundary.
I think it would be, and that's working with what they have per our agreement with YC and Spanish Peaks. That's kind of in line with some of my comments I've said earlier.
Yeah. It'll also spur a Spanish Peaks request that the subcommittee's working on too, I believe, which is making those SFBs a little more fungible outside the agreement. So the big agreement has a distinct map in there where these SFBs can be utilized, which means Spanish Peaks and Lone Moose Meadows.
Is that consistent with the district boundary for Lone Moose? I know we made some adjustments for Spanish Peaks, but is that consistent with the boundary in Lone Moose?
I think it is.
Okay. And I just want a clarification on that. It says outside the current Lone Moose plat. Is the current Lone Moose plat? It is.
Well, there's Lone Moose and then there's the miners. Whoops,
wrong. My point is, we commingling terms plat, district, Lone Moose area, flat iron area. All these things have different boundaries.
Lone Moose is this right here.
But I don't think that's what that addresses.
No, this is the remainder, which is actually a miner.
But where's our district boundary? Can you turn that
up? Yeah.
Is district boundary this the plat?
District boundary is the county.
And there's the agreement map.
I'm just going to say that's why I get into the service side, because Spanish Peaks had a different service boundary from the district that we had to modify.
Right. So the bulk of the development's in minor sub 257. Which is in the district.
Well, the other thing is you have Gallatin and Madison County are identifying, say they will be used in Gallatin or Madison. So we need an overlay, what it'll start out with is district boundary. There'll be a crosshatch maybe for the service area. If it's any different, make sure it conforms to the district boundary. Then you get into the Gallatin County allocation. Then you get into if there's a request outside of those two boundaries that are bookends, is that a part of it? But right now, it just gets a little confusing with the plat.
Number 11 there, Jim had put that in there, which is the way we kind of look at the YC agreement, and I could see why they would want that. So that basically sets you up to eventually take away a commitment of water sale. And Mike's looked at this a bunch too over the years with the YC. So we're selling them water as long as we have surplus water to sell them. Well, it's really hard to undo all that, 20 years into it. Say, well, now we don't have surplus water. You give them the notice, you're going to have to find your own water, and that turns into a big fight.
Well, the SFEs were only in for Lone Moose and the agreement were only in section 26. Or 28. Sorry, just in 28.
Yeah.
Which the western border, that section is the old county line.
Yep.
Which is also our border as a district. So then if you pulled up the map again.
So the agreement only states Gallatin County SFEs?
It is. It's just that. See the S shape up on top? It's just that section.
Got it.
And the county line is that red north-south line to the left.
So for any of that to be used outside of that, I think you're looking at annexing.
The only reason why I bring that up is because Spanish Peaks has been talking about the same thing with section 33 or something like that.
32 is SoCo,
which is the part of the discussion that allow us here is going
to
open.
I'm trying to track the two because if we're doing this thing
right here.
Yeah. And they kind of want the same thing as fungible. And to me, as a district, I don't really care. The agreement is the agreement, but
Well, they've still got the same flow condition in their agreement that Spanish Peaks does. And,
right.
And based on all the discussions today, they're agreeable, at least thus far, to live with an SFE allocation. But I've been advocating for it because they're very measurable things, right? And kind of get away from the whole flow thing, which is not very easily measured for sewer flows, but.
But number seven committees, if they care where the 50 more than flows from, it's a really matter.
Exactly. If you're not.
Build a skyscraper on that section versus spreading it out over two sections, the flow's going to get similar.
Right. And as long as the commitment, the capacity allocation remains the same where it goes, that's a different conversation.
As long as we have a good tool to measure it.
Well, then if you go to SFEs, your permitting will be the measurement, right?
The Spanish piece doesn't want to go to SFEs and these guys do.
It would seem to be that.
Yeah.
Where was Spanish piece on?
So you're going to see, this is why we need to sit on.
You want to stick to the flow base?
Yeah.
Then that's a whole different.
So we're like, that would be contingent. I mean, now we have less. We got our choices. I don't think that's a song.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my preference is to figure out an SFB number that accommodates moving this from the flow to SFB. Maybe that number increases some, what that looks like. I don't know, but.
We just have to be consistent between the Spanish Peaks and Long Beach. Yeah. While we're working down this path of the Spanish Peaks, where raise the cap right now and working towards some of these numbers. It's just that we've got to, at some point, whether it's reconciled SFEs per gallon, we got to get to an SFE basis.
The nuance with this one is we don't supply Spanish Peaks with water.
Correct.
The nuance, so how do you equate the water satisfying? I think that's why the SFEs made more sense on this one than Spanish Peaks, is that the water service and delivery can be a little bit against the SFE easier.
Yep.
That's hard though.
Yeah.
You have gallons per day for one SFE over here. And then,
yeah.
Well, it's, you got a long way to go. I think it's
in the back and forth. This put some stuff in writing and it's evolved a little bit. And I think the next step would be to try to schedule a meeting since we haven't for a while. But.
Okay. Anything else in that topic?
You can't get a babysitter. She's doing right now.
And Deb, I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you. So.
Oh, great. Yeah, the babysitter.
Not avoiding us. Okay.
Okay.
I think we're down to our update on the succession planning. Ryan Graff sent an email, little update. So he's gotten more data points on salaries across Park City, Lake Tahoe, Eagle River, and AWWA, which is the one I told him to go look at. So he's got that. They're going to take that into consideration for an updated report and make that available prior to the June meeting, he says. More to come.
Here.
Legal, there were two documents. One was a rejection letter Swimley sent to Cottonwood Law. They were trying to settle the funds, the digital fund thing that got pulled out of a bank account. He didn't give us enough time to even respond with the board because there was not enough time to notice a meeting to even talk about it. Probably wouldn't have been accepted anyway, but Susan just killed it and said, hey, you didn't give us enough time to notice a meeting, so we're done. And then the other one is all FYI. So that was Swimley's letter. And then I put a full copy of the plaintiff's brief that went into the Ninth Circuit Court. This is the appeal on the federal case, which we now have to respond to their brief, and I'm not sure what the deadline is for our response. So he goes in, then we get to respond. And then I think maybe the plaintiff gets to respond one more time, and then it goes to the panel of judges on the Ninth Circuit Court. Nothing new to report on district court case. That trial was a month ago, or the hearing was a month ago. The lawyers tell me another month we probably will have a decision. So there's nothing to report on that. And this kind of all wraps in their budgets for legal stuff. You know, if we get dismissed, that would be the action for the decision. But it hits our budget potentially for next year pretty good. And I mean, in a good way. And then if it goes to trial, then we're probably sitting on a bigger number for budget. And everybody that thinks this is all being paid for by insurance is wrong. It's not. It's there. Mary Ann, you are helping pay for this through your rates.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And yes.
Because I know how districts work.
You do, and you pay attention to what's going on. So we appreciate that. So any questions on any of the legal stuff?
When does Meyer go to trial for his trespass?
July.
Great.
We'll get a bus.
Yeah. That's my personal opinion.
Feels like from the budgeting perspective, there's going to be something anyway. But whether it's $250,000 or $1 million.
This is a conversation
between a few $100,000.
That's a great comment, and it's a conversation Terry and I've had along with Ryan Graff about. So at what point would we be smart to build a legal fund?
Yeah.
Where you 100%. Budget X, you don't spend X, but that goes into a segregated fund for future potential legal claims. And we've gone back and forth. Nothing's been proposed in writing yet, but I think it's time we maybe consider that.
I think the lawsuits are perpetual at this point. They're never going to end. So it feels like we should prepare ourselves for that.
We should do a rate adjustment on the heels of all this. And we got to catch up this money. We're pulling capital improvements plan to pay legal fees. It's not putting the capital improvements plan that we had a long-term strategy for it to play.
Yep.
So at some point in time, we got to either replace the capital improvements that we've been budgeting for or replace this legal fund. And frankly, at the end of the day, raising rates is the only revenue stream we have. So if it goes on the heels of, sorry, we don't know what to do, we're getting sued.
Well, we have to accelerate reserves regardless how we allocate them out.
Or at least maybe it's a short-term run on raising rates to replenish this money that we paid. I mean, we've already told our constituents that we're planning for the future, which we were, and now some of that future planning has been eroded by lawsuits.
Yeah,
correct.
We're going to go back to them again for the same thing. At least I certain side man wants to let people know that their money in water and sewer fees is going towards something different.
Yeah, some of them are money caught up with and the districts. Great.
Yeah, kind of
how it's working.
Well, I think this conversation could be taken up by the budget committee too, when we sit down with that group and look at the overall budget, and we can talk about that.
We're not talking about $100,000 legal fees here.
Yeah,
$2 million.
$2 million. Right. So I think I agree with Mike. I think this is something you just got to plan for.
Yeah.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even when we're successful, you don't have any recovery.
Yes. So we can't go back and make a claim against the plaintiff for attorney's fees, even though we want to get it.
Yeah.
And when you put that factor in for you to prioritize this and accelerate the process,
raise the rates more.
But I mean, we should probably put some ideas together.
Yeah. Well, so in the budget that is in the packet today, we actually dropped the legal from 300 down to 200.
On the bet that we get a favorable decision.
Yeah, yeah. You sat through the court case.
I sure did.
And most of the talk that we've heard is, you know, this is, I mean, it's, should be how that turned out. It should be favorable to us at the.
There'll be another one right
up here.
This one's probably gonna. It's gonna end. There will be another one the next day. we should plan for it.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, our capital improvements reserves were a big piece of our bonding capabilities for our new plan.
Right. So while we're eroding that at the same time,
we did add.
Those costs are going up all the time.
Yeah. We did add some legal coverage under insurance. It doesn't mean we're going to be covered by eventual claims. It kind of depends on how the claims are structured. But we did add that this year. Yeah, this year.
Pollution coverage.
Pollution coverage.
Is that a pre-existing condition?
We didn't even want to go there with the current district court case. We don't want to get booted out before we get started.
That's right.
Terry, you heard it all. What was that premium that we added to our? I don't know.
Was it 40 amount of money?
86,000 is what we spent, but that was for a 2-year premium.
Yeah, it's like
1 year.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are trying to stop getting some, but even then, you're part of the problem too is you get, we did this when we got the one lawsuit back in Southport 20 plus years ago. We had insurance through the St. Paul company. And it was over impact fee stuff. The developer there was questioning authority and the amounts, this and that. So we went to our insurance carrier. They said, yeah, we'll cover it, but you got to pick our list. You got to pick a lawyer from our list. So we ended up with the Davis firm out of Great Falls. I was having to drive to Great Falls to meet with our attorney. And he ended up trying the case, it never went to trial, we settled.
Yeah.
But he built the case for us from Great Falls. He had no history in Big Sky. So you may lose the ability to go hire a Rauchway or a real expert in Clean Water Act stuff. By getting that coverage and then all of a sudden the insurance company dictates who you get to choose from their approved list of lawyers. Not a big fan of that. It's complicated.
A little bitter attorney.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, so, attorneys.
Yeah. So that's a product beware kind of thing too. But yeah. So I think more to come on that point, and I think we can talk about it with our budget committee.
Great.
Man, 20 minutes went long today.
Yeah, it did.
Felt like an hour and a half.
Down to resort tax. So we got the list of questions from resort tax on Friday. We have till May 25th. Some of this, they'll pull Bucher in. Terry's going to help answer some of these. So there's the centrifuge press. There you go. There's one for you, Terry, right there. How much annual income from the sale of our compost. So we've got to get that, get answers to all this stuff, and then respond by the 25th.
Does it have?
Mm-hmm. You do have sales, right?
Does it have value? I thought we were giving it.
We sell it $25 a yard.
Oh.
It's more of an avoidance cost, keeping those trucks on the highway, hauling sludge down to the landfill. So it's not a big profit center by any means. But there is a number associated with the revenue side of that. It's not a big number. So we'll plow through and answer these. And then the other one is the water tank. So the first question, they're looking for a cost share piece. I presented it as 100%. And now that we know the number, you know, we can adjust our total ask down. Because I was in for 300, we'll back that off. And we're still going to do geotech and survey work, this and that. So there'll be costs there. It's just, do we cost share a piece of the actual deeded acquisition?
How does that, does the appraisal, is that, that gold now, or is that?
It's not gold. It just came today, but we thought, both entities thought we should get an independent.
Yeah.
What the value is, these numbers were just kind of getting picked out there prior to that.
Yeah, so does Northwestern believe that 60 is the value of the property based on that appraisal? Are they going to come back and
say, I've done it, had that discussion. Okay. But I think it's going to be in that range.
Okay.
So the last year, he used to work for Northwestern.
Yeah.
he did the appraisal work for us.
We helped him get these two substations together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when he worked for Northwestern, now he's independent.
Right, but he knows the game very well.
Smart.
Now, and question 5 there, we know the estimated cost now, which we didn't before. So
this list is pretty simple.
But if they stick to that number, and then we'll put our soft costs on it, the 50-50 share wouldn't be out of the question. We're not talking huge numbers, and no. The resort tech could feel good about us committing our money to it as well.
Yes, yeah. And we do have some site work costs and geotags or landscaping.
Sure.
Whether they'll consider that. I mean, the good news is we were initially in for 300, and that number comes away right now. So I like it. And then when you get these, Steve, then there's not another round of the questions that come back. It's a
this is, yeah. Questions in advance.
Right. Okay. So we'll be working on that. And then the actual schedule was a little. So June 5th, 6th, 8th, you know which one of these you are in for a Q&A. So like our district, we know we're going to be in on June 5th or 6th. Or my MO is usually last, so we do June 8th.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be at two of the meetings.
You got to be at two?
Either the 5th, the 6th, and the 8th.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good by to know. Category, it's not now. It's not like by how when you passed in the application.
Got it. And then I touched on this under new developments. M&M sent me this letter working on a golf course clubhouse for the new par 3 course. Right here, which must be outside of the platted, you know, their inspiration point stuff. But this is what the county's triggering on will serve or capacity letter for. So we'll, I mean, it's just one building, it's a small thing, but. Permits got a few, it's starting to pick back up.
Starting to pick back up.
Yeah.
Well, spring's here.
Spring's here. No surprise. Permit correspondence. Then the snowpack stuff, it's pretty strong going into the summer.
Going fast.
I've been watching the Gallatin flows, and we peaked 10 days ago, and have been dropping. We may see a second big spike.
It's just within a
over 2,000.
Yeah.
25.
It was up this morning, that was for sure.
That's good
for
us. We were over 2,000 a week and a half ago. Yeah.
I just went with them.
Right. I threw this in.
Yeah, so
the Tiger Grant is suspiciously not here. And I don't know what's going on with that. Tiger Grant. Yeah, I've been in those. Kristen, I put your.
Of course.
That's that actually.
Are we this or this?
It's never that simple, you know.
The one thing we Adam and I have talked about, so this goes back to a board we had 10, 12 years ago, wanted us to start doing in-stream sampling. Grant was doing that. And we've been doing that we've kind of come to the point where we want to sit down with the task force, look at what we're doing, what they're covering, and maybe back off some of ours, because it gets expensive, all this stream sampling we're doing. Well, Adam, what's our legal bill? I mean, our lab bill. I take legal all the time. Our lab fees are running.
We're about $1,200 a week.
$1,200 a week for this stuff. So we think there's some savings there to be had by maybe pumping the brakes on some of that, because it's already covered potentially. Well, by the way,
is the DEQ going to utilize some of the data we've gathered historically over the years to help with this process that they're in now?
Yeah.
Your dad.
But there when we had the French band gathering.
Sure.
3 years.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was just to add a check and balance, and let's get some of our own data, see how it compares to the stuff they're doing. And if it all matches up, it kind of becomes redundant and maybe unnecessary. So we'll be
looking at data is what it does. You get it.
It confirms it, but that doesn't mean we got to keep doing it forever.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we're at. We're going to sit down with the test.
The issue with the data gathering is connecting data gathering with a identified causal relationship to the impairment. That's still a question, right?
Yeah, and it's yes.
We've got data, we've got it in here.
And a lot of it's in the middle for it, which has been listed for a long time.
But asserting a defined causal relationship there is kind of the issue.
Yeah.
We're all causal.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
Got a nice card from Galen, who's no longer with the chamber. Every year we do a session, the Leadership Big Sky comes in and we present the water sewer stuff. And this year, Adam did most of it, Musket helped some. It's always a popular stop. They have no idea how complicated all this stuff is. So that's the one. I did record that. If anybody wants a link to it, I could kick it to them. Why DQ didn't record it, I'm not sure. And then I've got three different articles. One's Jack's article from last month, and then the Chronicle. That was Jack's write up. And then this one here back in April 14th. All FYI stuff.
You know, Helena left the Chronicle.
She did? Oh, I didn't know that.
Moving to Hawaii.
You're kidding.
Maybe I just broke all the news. I don't know. But.
I did not know that. Yeah.
No. I'll be an environmental reporter at the Chronicle. Yeah,
maybe this thing's through. So last thing, we've got our next meeting day, June 20th. The draft budget notices that Terry had in the packet contemplated doing the budget hearing at the front end of the June 20th meeting. You could all decide to just do a special meeting just for the rate hearing. It's kind of up to us how we do that. Historically, we've done it in conjunction with a regular district board meeting. And this is the one that mail goes out to our entire owner and customer base of 3,000 pieces. They get mailed out to the hearing notice by Montana law. And depending on how you structure that, it could get interesting. If you do that as a Zoom meeting, you could have 50 people that want to talk remotely. I think you could run your meeting as here's the notice, show up, or send an email with your comments. So depending on how we format that.
I would vote regular meeting. Here's the have the notice show up.
Yep.
Show up. And any comments, get it to
us. Email.
Yeah.
Email.
That's my lean as well.
It's fine to control, but it's just really running with.
Yes.
And I'd probably sit and enroll in the webinar side of Zoom, so then it gives you more control on how you.
I can tell you how Vince will vote.
There you go. No virtual.
Can we request you're here in person? Or can they?
I kind of checked with Susan on what are options on this. And she said you'd be fine as long as your notice is consistent with the way you run the hearing. But there's nothing in law that says you have to do a big Zoom wide open thing. Okay. But you do welcome comments.
Sure.
It's not like
email.
Yeah. But that said, you do it at the front end of the June meeting. If people want to show up, great. You'll have the floor for the comments. And we close the hearing and go into our regular meeting. So.
The notice act in the mail comes from us.
Comes from us. Harry's got a draft notice letter in the packet. We got to get our budget finalized and the rate piece locked in for the notice.
in that letter, we'll talk about the taxes, relieving some of the taxes this year, but by the way, it's still taxed into the.
Which is real. So, yeah, that's something we do.
So we'll have the meeting on the 20th.
Well, that's the discussion point. That's our regular scheduled slot, June 20th. So unless that doesn't work for everybody.
I won't be able to be here on the 20th. Not that it's all about me, but I'm just kidding.
That's why we can talk about it.
I'm traveling.
So let's leave it on the 20th and we'll figure out availability so we can move on.
Where are you going then? Lake. Man. It's a schedule on it.
And that's
okay.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? A motion to adjourn. You want to try to make it till 5 o'clock here, Mike?
Hey, 2 hours. What's your progress?
My brain about 5 o'clock was a half hour.
Up back to midi.
So, who's the motion to adjourn?
Next week.